Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Hello and welcome to the Danilo Gallinari episode of the Hoop Theory Podcast, aka episode 119, which is in honor of his career offensive rating of 119, which ranks 25 on the all-time list. Recording this one on the afternoon of Thursday, July 31st in the year of our Lord, 2025. My name is Logan Wertman, and I am once again joined by my educational co-host, Jacob Roth. Jacob, how does it feel to be on the Danilo Gallinari episode?
Awesome. A beloved, like a guy that was good enough that he should have, I feel like, more haters than he does, but he really doesn't. I feel like everyone is just kind of like, I mess with Gallinari.
Yeah.
He also was playing for some of the most toxic fan bases in all of the NBA, and no one still dislikes him. It's honestly, in a different world, he would be a cult leader. Like, I don't know. I feel like it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But honored. I'm pumped that it's cool stat also on why it's him. Wouldn't have guessed. Who'd have thunk? Mm-hmm. Look at us. I wouldn't have. But that brings us to now and the Gallinari episode.
Mm-hmm. I'd say he's like first ballot Hall of Very Good, you know?
Oh,
like
yeah.
In the rung below all the guys that make it to the Hall of Fame. Just like super good role player, lasted a long time, borderline all-star some years, you know? So. Yeah, he's a good one. And also one of my favorite guys while he was in his prime.
Yeah. He's like the most prolific. I'm trying to think of like a guy that can maybe he's just the guy that embodies it.
Yeah.
Where it's
he's
like,
just like a role player bucket getter.
In this CBA, he would be getting a supermax because of the way that they're doing like you make a third team all NBA, you get a max. Like that just Ooh. He would be one of those like chemistry checkbook potential nightmares, but not chemistry nightmare because everyone loves him as we opened up with, but
yeah, his one blemish was really in Denver actually, where he felt a little slighted or, you know, he felt like the team was not choosing him as the best player anymore. Cause he had become like the best nugget for a short little bit. And then Jokic was coming onto the scene right then. And so then he was like, this is my team. It's not supposed to be this other guy's team. And so then that's why he exited Denver. But, you know.
Also, I misremembered his career path. He only played for really the Knicks, and that's really the only one
that's
super
the one I was
toxic
thinking of.
Fan base. But no, literally.
I didn't know if you were counting Celtics, honestly. I didn't know if you were counting them as a toxic fan base.
Well, they are, but I also didn't because he didn't play.
Oh, that's ever. True. He never actually logged any minutes, did he? He tore his ACL. Nope.
Yeah, which is, I was super bummed about, but like, I added them in, and then for some reason, my brain has him in a Sixers jersey, but I think it's his Wizards time, and my brain just is like, red, white, and blue, East Coast, blah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what that did wrong. And the Pistons, and the Bucks.
I forgot about the Pistons. I do remember the Bucks.
But yeah, he went from the Nuggets to the Clippers.
Clippers, yeah. And then
the Thunder, Hawks. Oh,
I forgot about the Thunder. But yeah, there's Hawks days. He was on that 21 honestly, Hawks team.
Ironically, complete actually wrong from the most time. He started off with arguably the worst in the Knicks. And then he went Nuggets, relatively fine. Like, whatever.
Other than cheering for Team Serbia, which, by the way, I'm literally wearing a Team Serbia shirt right now.
Clippers, also fine. Like, they're like definitely the little brother of LA. They're probably more tolerable than the Lakers. Thunder, also fine. We'll see how it goes when this dynasty kicks up. I feel like they're going to get really
annoying,
insufferable. The Hawks, also, I feel like fine. Like, they've had Dominique Wilkins and nothing else in their entire ever. Pistol Pete Maravich, that's it. That's their entire existence. The Wizards are, I feel bad for constantly. I thought I didn't like them because of their the infamous scary Terry Rozier and Eric Bledsoe little beef. That was the Bucks, but it was that year.
Yeah. No. Oh, I know. Yeah.
We but went that, to seven
the Wizards
games.
Wizards were not involved in that at
it,
all.
It was not the Wizards, but it was that. That was the first series, second series of that playoffs.
Yeah. Because the first series, I think.
I might have it flipped second. Around. Whichever one it was,
I might be wrong.
that was like the went seven games. Isaiah Thomas went nuclear.
Jason Tatum's rookie year, right? 18.
Maybe.
I want to say, because then it was Jaylen Brown's second year, and it was the Bucks team was Bledsoe, Brogdon, Middleton, Giannis. It was before they had Brooke, or maybe it was Brooke's first year.
But then,
regardless, we are going on some wild tangents for trying to have a a short buttoned up, you know, little episode today.
But yeah, Pistons and Bucks, that's his whole career path. Almost none of those are toxic. Eventually, I think the Thunder will ascend into that. I hate everything about you, but it's fine.
Well, so, I mean, I think their team is what's more hated at the moment, which was really weird. I found it odd how much hate this OKC team got in the midst of their entire run.
That was we talked about the free throw thing. That was the only thing that, like, it made me mad, like, a little bit, but I didn't, like, hate, like, the whole persona of the whole thing. Like, I wasn't clowning Chet for the cookout invitation jokes and stuff like that.
I think people didn't like them. They're getting the comparisons that KC gets in the NFL with being like on the same team as the refs.
Oh, that type of I thought you were saying that they're everywhere and they're inescapable. Because that's what's so
maybe that.
This is also my other, we can talk about this a different day, but no, they're like in commercials all the time just because a lot of their players are very marketable, predominantly the deserved MVP of the NBA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, is in like a lot of commercials and that people didn't love because they like are mad that their team's not as good. And then every time they want to watch their favorite sport, they have to look at him and Chet, like walk out to the Spice Girls or whatever song that was.
Yeah.
Where they had that paparazzi commercial. Anyway,
have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
But yeah, we're probably not going to talk about the Thunder much this episode. But maybe, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? We'll see. I'm guessing we won't have much disagreement with the odds on them because that's what we're going to take a look at today.
Have we even told people that's what, that's what you're doing. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But before I do that, though, I would like to first say thank you guys for listening or watching whatever you're doing on YouTube or any podcast platform for the audio. Please consider leaving a like or a comment or a rating. And please consider subscribing to the channel or following the podcast feeds. If you would like to support the show beyond that, be sure to hit up the Patreon, hooptheory.com. I messed this up, but Hoop Theory Patreon, you know you where to go. There's a $1 a month tier as well as a $5 a month tier that you can sign up for to get extra content and help us grow. And then also we've got just one-time donations over on Buy Me a Coffee if you'd like to do that over there. That would be greatly appreciated. And then we have the mailbag, hooptheory.mailbag@gmail.com. Send your thoughts, anything over to that if you want us to read it. But yeah, so as I was saying before, that little mess of an ad read or whatever you want to call it, I was going into what we are going to discuss today, which is the odds for next season's championship, the Larry O'Brien Trophy. Because, you know, it's never too early to go and do that. It's Thursday, July 31st, as I said before. So I'm interested to see what it's going to be. I'm sure I know number one. And then I think I'm going to get the next two. I don't know what order, though, for the next two.
I think I'll
get the top three. Okay. We'll see then. I would guess OKC is a favorite. I don't think it's going to be them minus odds, though. That would be a little much.
That would be crazy. Before we jump into it, these are going to be coming from FanDuel Sportsbook. I'm looking at the odds. Logan is not looking at the odds, just so everyone that can't like kind of see and keep, well, you'll figure it out eventually as we start talking. But you are correct if I'm going to assume on who the number one is. And you are correct. They're also not negative odds. They are positive.
What is the number?
230, according to FanDuel Sportsbook.
Okay. So pretty good.
And that's
good.
Where I'm like, no, problematically good, I think.
What does that mean? Problematically good?
I feel like as like a bet, that's not great value with what they have the rest of the like likely pack to be.
So like you're saying that they should have a higher number or like they should be have should have the, more the, likely the, odds the or gap less
between,
likely odds?
The gap between the Thunder and the next couple of teams I feel like should be smaller than it is. But maybe I'm crazy. Like they should be the betting favorites. You. But 230, and then we'll talk about the... We can actually wait to have this discussion until the jump, because you don't even know what it is yet.
Is it going to be like plus 1,000?
Not that bad, but close.
Plus 750?
Plus 750 is the next one.
That makes sense.
And I just am like... Do we like feel like the Thunder are... Is that... I'm making sure I'm thinking odds right. Are 60% more likely to win the title than anyone else?
Than the second best.
Than the second best? Does that feel correct to you? It doesn't to me.
I feel like it feels correct for what I would think most people would think, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I felt like I kind of had like a... I felt like I was going to have a hot take bit on saying that I feel like OKC is a lot closer. Like, I don't have them on a separate tier from...
I think OKC is the least likely repeat champion. Though obviously, we haven't had any in a minute. I think
the
they're...
least.
No. Not ever. I'm talking about like if you go back since
I know
this
in the last
streak,
seven.
I gotta think.
Seven. This has been seven in a row that have not repeated. If that's what you're trying to think.
I feel
of.
Like last year the Celtics should have been more likely to repeat or were until things obviously did not materialize. This is all health included. Nuggets. I feel the exact same way.
Until they had the offseason that they had, but yeah.
Yes.
Like losing Bruce Brown and everything.
Who was before the Nuggets? I'm Jeff having Green. A stroke.
Before the Nuggets was the Warriors. 22
that,
Warriors.
That one. The Thunder definitely have them beat. Now that
and
I'm like 21 super
Bucks,
thinking about it.
And then 20 Lakers. And then 19 Raptors. Which we knew that wasn't going to repeat unless Kawhi
Raptors
went back.
We knew wasn't.
Yeah.
But they should not be on this pedestal like I feel like a lot of people are putting them on.
I feel like they might. Like, I feel like maybe you could make the argument with
the
Celtics.
Finals.
I mean, I'm not. I wouldn't be surprised by that because it's happened literally 7 years in a row now where the team loses in the second round at best.
But I'm just saying there's like a world where I don't think like they like get a bad draw first round and they just lose. Like, I don't know. I'm just not.
Just they've got everybody come back. The you know, stress or the what builds up over 2 years of stretch of trying to go back to back is what you're saying.
Yes. It's not that I don't think that they're still probably the best team in basketball, but like just things happen. Things go not great. Will everyone stay healthy? And again, they're young, so the odds are like, yes, but it's not like a guarantee type of thing.
I would say in this era, if there was a team to break this streak and go back to back, it would be the Thunder, to be honest, would be my take. But I also do understand what you're saying, and it's hard to bet against that pattern continuing, you know, because it's been so prevalent.
Especially how the offseason went. Like a lot of teams that were close
in the West. Getting better,
to definitively look at them better. East obviously is a different universe.
The team that took them to 7 in the West got better,
way better.
Yeah.
Like, and the teams that are like also the young guys that are up and coming, also like have a year, have measurably a playoff experience. Like, and there's like a world where like some of the teams that are lower on this list, and I like won't spoil where they're at, but like. The old heads, the Clippers, the Warriors, mess around and knock the Thunder out just because a bunch of old heads, valiant final push, go off into the sunset for some of the guys set to retire and go from there. But I don't know. But who do you think, as we've kind of gone in all this circle, Thunder, according to FanDuel Sportsbook, are at +230 to win the 25-26 NBA Finals. Who do you think the second team, as we've already discussed, who's at 750 is?
Okay, and they're not tied with anybody? Or are they?
No. There is this team and then three teams tied with the next best odds, which is it's essentially one shelf with this team in second place being bumped up a little bit higher.
Okay. If I had to pick a second, in my opinion, I would go Denver. But I don't know if other people are thinking Houston over Denver. Those would be the teams that I would guess here. I'm going to go Denver, so though.
Let's try to, because there's the top five that are essentially separating themselves. Who do you think is in the top five? And then we'll put the order after. Because after the Thunder, they're all essentially the same odds.
Top five. So there's going to be, obviously, OKC. And then I think Denver and Houston are both in there.
Yep.
And then I would probably go Cavs, maybe.
Okay.
Are they in the top five?
Yep.
They are. And then Knicks.
Yeah, that is the top five.
Okay, that would be my top five as well.
So who do you think second was? You said one of the West?
Is it Denver?
No, that is almost the exact opposite order. They have Cleveland at +750, and I think 90% of it is because they're in the East. The way they can get to the finals is insurmountably easier. And then who knows what happens in a 7-game series is my brain on how the book would be going. And the next three are like just, I don't know what order they're in, but they're all the same odds, so it doesn't really matter. But it's the Knicks, Nuggets, and Rockets all in the same
little group.
Group there. Mm-hmm. So it's the Cavs at +750, the Knicks at +850. Which I think the only reason they're that high is because they're in the East, because I don't feel great. Like, I don't know. I just don't, like...
I think the Knicks have added a lot of depth. I think they made good moves. My one main Knicks thought, sorry to interrupt your
you're good.
Thought, but I found it very odd. I thought about this recently, how so many Knicks fans, like every Knicks fan I heard during the playoffs last year, kept saying stuff like, oh, this is our one last shot. Like, if we go out, if we don't win it this year, this is it. It's like, why? Why do you guys think that? Like, literally after this offseason, honestly, they should have just not fired Thibodeau. Like, the problem with Thibodeau's team is he didn't have a bench. And now he has a bench. He would have a bench if he was still employed. Now they got Mike Brown, which I don't like. You know, it's not like I think he's a worse coach, I guess, than Thibodeau.
I don't either. But for this roster, I don't get it as much. There's like things where I'm like, I don't. How?
Yeah.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Yeah.
No, it will work. Mike Brown is just smart. He's a smart basketball human. But I'm just like, I don't know. I don't love that fit, but we'll see obviously how it goes, and we'll have a full offseason to kind of percolate things. And I'm sure we'll get the Knicks will be obviously the same personnel, but I'm sure it will feel so comically different that you can't really even describe how different it'll feel than a Tibbs team. But yeah, I don't know. And maybe I'm just a hater. Oh, that's probably the most likely scenario on why I'm like, that doesn't make that much sense to me. The next two are, I think, the teams that I have the most faith in dethroning the Thunder, and that is the Nuggets and the Rockets.
Okay, and that's fourth and fifth.
But I think it's just Cavs and then alphabetical mascot-wise, as I think what it is.
Hmm. Oh, I see. Yeah, because they're all tied.
Yeah, they're all tied for the same odds.
All right.
But it might not even be that. I don't know why it's in that order. But like, obviously, we talked about the Nuggets, like the things they did and how it's all very, like, good. And then the Rockets just have a young core. They have Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
And then, like, I just feel like everything about what they didn't have was essentially Kevin Durant. And now they have that. And you could have got it in, like, a younger package, but they got it in, like, a guy that knows how to win, in theory, that has done it before. So it's like, I don't know how this could not go well. I've got full faith in Ime Udoka to figure it out. And I feel like they were like, oh, they're kind of a problem. This is kind of weird. They're going to be a problem for a lot of people, including the Thunder next year, which I think will be exciting for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Houston gets the number one seed this year, to be honest.
No, for sure. Especially with the like sluggish starts that can tend to happen with once you've won. But maybe, again, the youth of the Thunder is not something we've ever been able to really have to this extent. Like, oh, yeah, there's a couple of young guys in the core. But like the average age was 25 and a half or something last year. That might be a bit dramatic.
I think it was below 25, just below.
Yeah, which is just gross. And who knows? Now there is a big cliff, and there's another four teams that are another kind of pack if you're looking at the numbers on these odds.
Okay, and so this is the sixth to seventh
team. This would be six, now. Seven, eight, and nine.
Okay.
With eight and nine having tied odds.
I'm going to guess both LA teams are in here.
Okay.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And then Minnesota also, probably I would like to say them higher than the other ones, but.
Okay. They are in the four, and they are higher than one of the LA teams.
Oh.
And again, the difference is the top one.
I'm guessing the Lakers are above them, aren't they?
Yeah.
I'm guessing the Lakers, which is stupid because of how much they.
This is a 200 gap between the team you actually haven't said yet and. I guess you figured now the Clippers on the bottom of this shelf.
They're ninth. Clippers are ninth.
Clippers are ninth. And it's a 200 plus 200 gap between them and the one team in the shelf you have yet to name.
And I'm guessing we've got to have an East team in here because all these other ones are west.
And just because of the ease of the playoffs, like we said, like getting through the playoffs is just going to be easier in the East.
But who is that going to be? Is it going to be the team with the best player, like Milwaukee? Or it could be young up-and-coming teams like Orlando or Atlanta?
So it is not the team with the best player. So it is not the Milwaukee Bucks.
Okay. So it's not Milwaukee. So is it either Orlando or Atlanta? One of those two?
Yes.
It is. I'm going to go Orlando.
It is Orlando. It is +1600 to +1800. Orlando Lakers at +17, so a little bit of an improvement there. And then T-Wolves and Clippers are tied at +8.
Okay. All right. So Orlando is sixth in the whole league to win the title.
With a giant cliff, but yes.
Yeah, that feels a little crazy.
And again, a lot of it's because of, like, the, if you're betting,
conference.
A lot easier to get out of the East.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you won't even you potentially won't have to be in battles to get out of the East if injuries go wrong for other teams. Mm-hmm. Like, if Donovan Mitchell gets hurt, the East is literally, the Celtics could win the East if Donovan Mitchell gets hurt. Like,
yeah.
It's just it's Orlando a weird world. Gel.
Yeah. I've liked their moves, though. I think they're a better team with Desmond Bane, obviously, and then Tyus Jones, also another guy to run point guard. Yeah, I've liked what they've done. And their guy's getting better also. Tristan Da Silva is a young guy that I think will be a good role player for them. The center spot, I think, is where they're probably weakest, although I do love me some Goga Batadze and Wendell Carter Jr. I just don't know if either of them are, like, real starting centers in the NBA quite yet.
You feel great if those are your, like, ninth backups, guys off the bench and your backup center. You feel awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but that's not the world the Magic live in at the moment.
Yeah.
Then the Lakers?
Yeah, so Lakers. Obviously, getting DeAndre Ayton. We haven't talked about that.
Okay. And I know that I'm more on the Ayton train than a lot of people have.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be, in my opinion, a, like, Draymond Green level perfect fit where he will mess around and be on someone's All-NBA third team ballot. Like, I have, like, a feeling that this is going to go so. I said a person. It's not going to be, like, a widely agreed upon opinion.
Yeah, yeah, no.
He's going to look like a top 35 player in the NBA.
Hmm.
Because Luka is going to make him look that much better.
Yeah, I like.
And then JJ Redick, I think, can also get a lot out of him. He's like, hey, DeAndre Ayton, stop dominating the couch and being lazy. Look at Hassan Whiteside. When he tried, and that's, like, a widely reported story. This is not me, just me being a hater because he played in Miami. Hassan Whiteside was, like, widely reported as super skilled, super athletic, super good basketball player, just one of the laziest human beings to ever make it in the NBA. And he was, like, getting there on just sheer athleticism alone. And then he, like, had a random three seasons where he's like, I am going to try. Then he had, like, two block triple doubles in one season.
Yeah, and got paid, and then
got
anymore.
Lazy again.
Yep.
Exactly. And again, I know that I am much larger on the dominating train than so much of the world. But this is my, like, KOC Killian Hayes equivalent hill, where I will plant my flag in dominating land.
Out of all the people you could plant your flag on, okay, I just feel a little more unsure. But do you see
that? Obviously, that's, like, the most hyperbolic, extreme version.
He has the talent to do exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, I know.
I don't disagree with that. But I just don't. I'm not going to believe it until I see it with him.
I just don't. I think more the thing that makes me, like, want to believe it more than genuinely believe it is this is a perfect, perfect scenario. Like, the only world that there might be, like, a better one is if he could have been, like, plugged in, but they didn't, like, need. No, I can't think of a better one. I can't. I no, literally yeah, there can't. Isn't one. Like, in NBA history, I can't. I was going to think, like, maybe if he was, like, on the Spurs teams when they were, like, fundamental Spurs and being that. But, like, no. Like, not even that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe if, like, he played with, like, Steve Nash, with Amari Stoudemire and DeAndre Ayton doing crazy things in Phoenix back in like the early 2000s, maybe. But no, this is perfect. I feel like JJ Redick could do some wizard magic stuff. Obviously, Luka is going to take things seriously this year, even though he always has. But, like, dude is super slim down, looks like he's going to be a menace. LeBron seems to have kind of settled in. Like, and those are guys where, like, almost no matter what your ego is, if, like, LeBron's like, hey, man, we need you to do this, you just do it. You know what I mean?
You would think. Yeah,
there's
very
few egos that, like, and maybe the guy that got his name tattooed on his back, using a play on the word domination, would be a guy with an ego too big to, like, just listen to what LeBron James, arguable GOAT of some people's generation, would say. But I don't know. I'm big on the DeAndre Ayton train, and I think the Lakers are also. That's also why I feel even less strong about the Thunder thing, is there's so many teams that I'm like, there's nights where the Thunder won't have the best player on the court against the Lakers, and I feel that, could, like, obviously Luka.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, he's getting older, but if it's a playoff series and it's down to the nitty-gritty, I think there's, like, a world where the Lakers have the better second player, like, the second best player on the second best player on the their best team. Best two is also going to go to the Lakers. Mm-hmm. And then if you have, like, something that can assist with, like, the size that they, I don't know, I'm big on it. I might be a crazy person. You can clip this when I'm totally wrong, put a clown nose on me and say, look at this guy, but I don't care.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
It's more that I want it to happen. I want there to be a world where we're like...
You've always wanted this for DeAndre Ayton.
I have. I have.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just want it to happen so bad.
You wanted him to go to Portland and become Karl Malone, I think was what you said.
Minus the bad stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, obviously. But then what ended up happening was the Portland Trailblazers decided to pay him $35 million next season to not play for the Blazers.
That's true. But... they didn't have Luka.
That's true.
No, and I think that's the thing to me the most is like DeAndre Ayton has just the ability, like this, the talent in theory to be like, I am better than Derek Lively in every way by a factor of 50%. Like I could be 150% of what Derek Lively is.
Every way, but as a player overall, yeah. I just think that the things that Luka Biggs are really good at and have always been good at that helps Luka's game a lot is having like a nose for the ball and a nose for the rim, like just diving hard, crashing hard, even when they know they're not getting the ball, you know, just doing all the dirty work, kind of making sacrifices, like all of the things that DeAndre Ayton has severely lacked.
He's going to do it. He's going to do it. No.
You know,
trust.
But he's a big body, and theoretically, he would be a great lob threat, a great, like, you know, pick and roll partner with Luka Doncic, you would think.
Feel free to send me your DeAndre Ayton all-star jerseys when he becomes an all-star. Feel free to send that to my house. Or we should get a P.O. box so people can, like, send us bombs. So I'm just kidding. Sorry. That was dumb. Anyway, I'm not high on the Lakers, but I am high on DeAndre Ayton. Being in a perfect scenario to percolate and cook.
I think he makes or breaks their season. I do think that.
Yeah.
I think if the Lakers are a really good team, that means DeAndre Ayton is really
good. So what you're
saying
is if the Lakers win the NBA Finals, DeAndre Ayton should be the Finals MVP.
Maybe, yeah. Top three at least.
Top three vote getter, DeAndre Ayton. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He just rips off his Lakers jersey, just domination. Dominating. Anyway, a team that I feel almost no joy or hype or anything about, which is so weird for me, considering I usually love them, is the team next sandwiched in between the LAs, the T-Wolves. I'm just so like...
Out on them?
I don't want to say out on them because when you got a dog like Ant in there, I don't think you could ever
and
be
Nas
out.
Reed.
Yeah. And the boy Nas Reed in Times New Roman font. I've decided that I'm not a big tattoo guy. I'm still virgin flesh or whatever they call it. But I feel like if I do get tattoos, it'd be goofy stuff. And I feel like I would have Nas Reed in a very basic script on my body somewhere if I got into tattoos. I don't know where, but somewhere.
That's like a top 10 tattoo, I feel like.
Oh, sure. Yeah. There's Times New Roman, Nas Reed.
Mm-hmm.
12-point font. Yeah. Like, make it super small. Where people have to, like, really get close to read it.
Yeah. I do like how they got him back on pretty good value. I think it was, like,
amazing
low 20s
value
per
amazing
year, I want to say. Yeah.
That man could have done what's his name? I see his face. He played for the Pistons, and he played for the Nuggets, and he played for Portland, and he's like a big three and
big Jeremy Grant.
Jeremy Grant.
Oh,
where he like was a dude, and then was like, I'm gonna go get a ton of money,
a bag somewhere else. Yeah,
and went and did that. But then Nas Reed, for some reason, or maybe the money wasn't there because everyone's trying to navigate the CBA. Maybe there was not as big of a market for him as I thought.
It seemed like for all the other signings this year, it was like nobody had cap space other than the Nets. And then the Nets decided to take Michael Porter Jr. on in their cap space, is what they decided to do.
And then facilitate KD.
Facilitate the KP to the Hawks.
They just did a weird thing where they just took money on.
Mm-hmm. Terrence Mann. Mm-hmm. And gave up their pick. Or no, they got a pick. They got a pick and Terrence Mann.
Yeah.
That's what they did.
Which is sick. Credit to them. For nothing. For doing almost nothing correct. And then all of a sudden, that kind of worked out.
Yeah. But then they ended up using all five of those first round picks they had on passers and nobody that can shoot, which was interesting.
I'm still upset that Danny Wolfe is not a Celtic. I will forever be upset about that.
One pick away.
Mm-hmm. It's like they knew. The only way that it could have been worse is if the Celtics were so desperate to get a center, they took Kalkbrenner. That's the only world that I could have been like, I'm done. I'm ending it all. Mm-hmm. Speaking of ending it all, you know who else probably wants to end it all?
No.
The doctors in San Antonio still having to hear about Kawhi Leonard always being hurt and them being blamed it was their fault.
Yeah.
The Clippers are, I was trying to transition, it didn't work very well. Clippers are now up at plus 1,800, tied with the T-Wolves. I feel like this is the first of the West teams where it's like in like a movie, like it's an old guy trope where it's like, let's see if I still got it in me. And they like crack their knuckles and then like twist their back like this. And they're like, let's go. I feel like this is the first of a bunch of teams that are kind of in that mode where they're like, let's see if I still got it.
They're going to be good. I do think they're going to be good.
They'll still be good, but it's still like, and I believe it's Zach Lowe who said it on his podcast, but he goes, it is a noble cause to have a good team and lose in the second round, fighting your tail off in six or seven. That is a noble, good thing to do. And I feel like the Clippers, that might just be a thing they do.
Yeah, for sure. Especially if Kawhi has a better, more healthy regular season than he had last year, which was a pretty unhealthy one, even for his standards. I believe he played like 35 games or something like that last year. Jeez. But then he was healthy for the playoffs, though. But the thing is, he played in the 30s for games, and then they still won 50 games on the season. The Clippers.
James Harden did not do what we thought. I thought this was going to be insufferable. James Harden was a teammate basketball player, a team first basketball player.
Yeah, facilitator. Still crapped the bed in game 7.
Very hard. Very hard.
But people forget how good he was in game 6. He came up big in that one.
Got them there.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just that pattern has to continue for some reason. Every final game that he's in. But, you know, then we have Ivica Zubac, who took a huge step up last season and is one of the best bigs in the NBA now.
He's another guy that I love. I wish he was playing with Luka.
He's on both of our guys' lists.
I wish he was playing with Luka. Just because everything about just Luka having a big, he's not a rim running big by any stretch of the imagination. He's just the wall. What is the wall? Mm-hmm. Hold on. Let me do some looking up.
Wall? Yeah, like Pink Floyd?
No. I'm trying to think like, how do you say the wall in Croatian?
Oh, yeah. I have no idea. I wouldn't have been able to help you out with that one. But I just came back from vacation.
It's Zid.
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 Okay. I just came back from vacation from Grand Lake, Colorado, which is a very small town, like 1,000 people maybe. But every single server there, like in all the shops and all of the restaurants, all of them were like, I don't know what they were exactly, but they were Eastern European Balkan type of accent. I'm guessing it was like Croatian or something like that, at least. It just made me think of that. Like every single person there that was working at the stores. It's like, interesting. Where did you all come from? But regardless, I could ask them, I guess, for what the, how you said wall in Croatian.
Zid.
And yeah, that is what Ivica Zubac is.
There's only 400 people in Grand Lake.
Only 400? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez. I underestimated it or overestimated it. I guess there's a lot of tourists there in the summer that makes it look bigger. But anyways, the other thing that the Clippers did was trade Norm Powell. I didn't love this move. They traded Norm Powell so they could take on Bradley Beal in that when he got bought out by the Phoenix Suns. I would have rather just kept Norm Powell, to be honest, even though he wasn't great in the playoffs, but still he was a really good player all season long. I can't imagine Bradley Beal is going to be that much better in that role.
I was like, what makes us feel like Bradley Beal is going to be better in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Like exactly.
he's more of a ball handler, I guess, but not as good of like just catch and shoot, you know, 3-and-D wing like Norm Powell can be for you. But I love his fit in Miami, but I didn't love that move for the Clippers, I guess. And then Chris Paul, the move that I did love, not just for
everything
like, you
about
know,
it.
Yeah, not just for the sentimental reasons, although those reasons are huge, but also just, you know, functionally having a backup point guard, somebody to run the show other than James Harden would be helpful.
Also, I might be totally off. I thought that him and James Harden weren't cool. Am I just
they
stupid?
They weren't in Houston at all. But it's been years since then.
So obviously they're chill enough now. Or Steve Ballmer doesn't give a crap. It is like, I want Chris Paul back.
Yeah. I'm sure they've probably buried the hatchet by now. Also, they're both at very different points in their career, especially Chris Paul.
Yeah.
I think he's understanding of the role he'll be playing.
Also, think how terrifying this team would sound in like 2017. Just.
For real.
I mean, there's been a couple teams that have been like that in the past couple of years, but just be like...
With the Lakers, yeah.
Chris Paul, James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, and Bradley Beal unite under one banner.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the Olympics. Yeah. That's an Olympic team. That could be a lineup in Rio.
In Rio, 2016,
In Team USA. And I wouldn't... there's that unit looked pretty good together. Not really. That unit wouldn't work at all, but...
With a good five man, it wouldn't be bad.
Well, you'd have to have Kawhi play the four.
Which is not that weird. Kawhi?
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, obviously he's best at the three, but he's a 3-4 for sure.
Yeah. I feel like he's a 3-3-4. Where he definitely he leans the three more than the four. Obviously. Anyway, that was super, but yeah, I loved everything about the Chris Paul
reuniting, literally everything
about
it. Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Mm-hmm. And it also puts a good cap end, because I feel like before this move, there was a lot of, like, there's room for debate, I guess, on what Chris Paul is ultimately. Like, is he a Clipper or is he a Hornet? You know, but now this kind of bookends, like, he is a Clipper.
I feel like he was going to be a Clipper no matter what in my mind, but that's also probably because of, like, when I witnessed basketball. Like, that for me is, like, a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Of like someone could be known. I'm trying to think of an example.
Like, when I think of Chris Paul, for some reason, I still picture him in a Hornets jersey. I don't know why.
Not even close. I picture him in those ugly, short-sleeved red Clipper jerseys.
The from red Christmas. Ones.
Yeah.
I think of the baby blue ones if I try to put him in a Clippers one. But yeah.
The other clip, the thing I always think of with Chris Paul is the Steph Curry, like, what is going on? Where he, like, is, like, running around, but the ball's in front of him somehow, and he hits that turnaround three.
You're talking about Steph with the ball?
Steph with the ball.
Oh,
but
gotcha.
It's against the Clippers in those baby blue shorts.
Yeah, he crosses his...
Yeah.
Yeah, he crosses Chris Paul up. Yeah.
But it's, like, it looks way more dramatic than just crossing Chris Paul up, because, like, there's so many bodies around him.
Well, yeah, and Chris Paul falls. Like, he, like, trips.
Yeah.
And falls backwards.
Great clip. And all-time NBA clip.
Uh-huh.
In my opinion.
He had a lot of great years with the Hornets, had his best years with the Hornets for sure. It was a better team that he was a part of with the Clippers that just kept falling short ultimately, which was sad to look back on.
For sure.
But yeah, anyways, the only thing could make it better is bring on Blake Griffin as a assistant coach or something like that.
That'd be sick. That would be sick.
Just for old time's sake.
That was kind of the top. That's plus 1800. Then there's another gap where there's like another hack, you could say.
Okay. Okay.
Or actually, it's kind of one person on an island and another pack, and then you're out of contenders. You're just too. No
long
one
shots.
Knows what's happening. They're going to be bad, or no one knows.
Yeah. Okay. So we're at what team?
So I guess
ninth or tenth? Tenth?
We are at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We are on the 10th. We just set our top 9.
Okay.
And again, to recap, that order is OKC at plus 230, Cleveland at plus 750, three teams tied at plus 850 in New York, Denver, and Houston. Sitting at plus 1600 is the Magic, Lakers plus 1700, the Timberwolves and Clippers tied up at plus 1800. And then this team sitting at plus 2700 is who do you think, Logan?
Holy cow.
It's a draw.
It's got to be Milwaukee. They've got to be in here at this point. Really? People are low on Milwaukee.
They are comically low. You want to know how far away Milwaukee is? Would you like me to tell you?
Sure. What's their number, I guess? What's their odds?
They are plus 5,000.
That's stupid.
They are 16th.
Giannis might be he very well could just be the second best player on planet Earth. Like, probably is.
I don't know. Skinny Luka, I feel like Giannis might be 3.
Might be. But, like, I don't think it's crazy to put...
No, absolutely not.
I mean, you just last year put Giannis second.
I did. But
yeah.
Luka was not Luka at the moment.
Yeah.
Which we haven't seen yet. I just... Yeah. Why am I blown about that? But, like, I love my Celtics. I love them.
They aren't here.
They are but one above the Bucks.
Oh, okay. I thought they were this. They were 10.
No, that would have been nuts. No. They're just higher than the Bucks, but I'm like, I love
That's
my
stupid.
Celtics. But we should not be above. It's like the value of having the dog on planet Earth almost is not valued enough. Having the best player is not enough. Like, it's crazy. The Bucks, let me count the East. How low are they in the East? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They're the 8th team in the East.
That's so dumb. The Milwaukee Bucks. Okay, I know they lost. Hello, and sorry for the interruption here. We were experiencing some technical difficulties at this section. It was my mic that was not really working. It was just being very choppy, very tough to listen to. You can not even really tell what I'm saying at all. So once I let you back into the episode, it'll be skipping to a point in which my mic problem has been fixed. And it was just a couple minutes at max. It was maybe like a minute and a half that my mic was doing this. But yeah, the little monologue or little thing that I went into during this part that I'm now going to have to cut out was about the Bucks, just saying that the Milwaukee Bucks, I'm surprised that they are so low in the odds that people aren't taking them very seriously for being a contender in the East, at least, you know, one of the top 4 or 5 teams. It's crazy that they're 8th in the odds, even though they did waive and stretch Damian Lillard, their second best player, which was a very weird, controversial move. in order to create cap space to sign some other guys, since, you know, this season for Dame was going to be a waste. You know, he was going to be out the whole year with the Achilles injury, and who knows what he's going to look like when he comes back at his, you know, advanced age. So they did get Miles Turner, you know, in that move. That was kind of the direct domino that came after that, which I don't think the Bucks is going to be as good of a home for Miles Turner as Indiana was for him. I don't know if he's going to have quite the same effectiveness as a player just in terms of fit, but he is an improvement over Brook Lopez, I would say, just kind of a younger version of that 3-and-D center that you want to trot out there next to Giannis Antetokounmpo, their star player. So there's that. And then Cole Anthony, I thought, was a good signing as well to fill in, you know, some point guard minutes without Dame, obviously. I feel like they're, as weak as this East is, if you have the best player on planet Earth, basically, he's, you know, I would say probably the second best player in the world, and the best player in the conference by far, especially with Jason Tatum out, then I think that they should have be given like a decent chance, at least not below the Celtics this season, you know, without Tatum and without now Jrue Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis that they've traded off, and probably Al Horford as well, as he is still a free agent. But yeah, so that was the gist of what I was saying there that got cut out. I'll let you guys get back to the episode now. Thank you.
Anyway, yeah, it's gross that Milwaukee's that low, is what you were saying, and then giving information about it.
So I guess moving on to the next team, though, the team that we don't know is actually here.
2,700, Clippers plus 1,800.
So is this an East team at 10?
It's not.
No.
I feel like it's very akin to the Clippers. They're like spiritual brothers or sisters, depending on which way you look at.
Okay, where are we even at? There's Memphis, I guess. I don't think they would be up here. There's San Antonio, I guess, could be at this spot. That'd be a little high.
They're lower than the Bucks. The Grizzlies are lower than the Bucks.
Agree, that one makes sense. But I feel like San Antonio could be a sleeper. Who else is there? Dallas?
They're not.
I guess Dallas, probably. Dallas isn't here?
You're forgetting a big one. Like, this one is fair.
Okay.
Again, it's like the old guy. Let's see if I still got it in me. Cracks their back and goes.
Yeah. Oh, Golden State.
Yeah.
They're over Dallas. Golden State.
Yep.
That's stupid to me.
I don't think so at all.
They don't even have a center.
Which, again, I will petition for Al Horford to have his jersey retired if he is not going to play for the Warriors.
I'm forgetting Kyrie's out this whole season also. I just remembered that now.
That was going to be the next sentence I said, is they don't know when they get Kyrie.
Yeah.
So it's like, honestly, for the future of Dallas, this is perfect. The fact that Flagg is going to be able to kind of cook a little bit and then maybe mess around, getting some like nice tight games, and then Kyrie comes back and they can it'll be awesome for them. But no, it's the Warriors here at plus 2,700. And it's just like I think a lot of it is how good they looked at the end, like that stretch to end the season. Granted, they had a center during that stretch. But they straight up don't have one now. So I don't know what they'll do. I'm imagining it's going to be like a packaging of some sort. Cause like also this feels like you could be death to the second window. Like our second window hopes are doomed. So like, do you take, if Al Horford doesn't play for them, even if he does, is like a Pods for a real center a possibility? Or is maybe not Pods. Pods is probably a bad example, but like,
Kuminga.
Is them taking one of their... Yeah, Kuminga is probably the most likely. But everyone knows that they don't want Kuminga, so they're not going to get the value they should get for him. It's just
Who knows if they even agree to a contract? Because that's still sitting in the air right now. He's a free agent right now.
Which I think, in all likelihood, back to the Al Horford thing, that's why Al Horford hasn't signed, is they're just trying to figure out the money side of
for
things.
Kuminga.
The Kuminga, and if they're going to send and trade, and what that all looks like. So I'm almost positive that's what it is. And it's not Al Horford being a Boston legend, but we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
All right, well, I guess so. 10, yeah, that's Golden State. That which is, yeah, still a little wild to me, even though I guess Dallas is not as big of a, you know, contender or whatever you want to call him as I was previously thinking, with Kyrie being out for at least most of this season. He did tear his ACL, not his Achilles, which should be a shorter rehab. And he did it also not at the end of the season, but it was like, I don't know, March maybe, something like that.
Middle-ish.
I want to say.
It was also his knee that was already bad, which kind of extends it even longer. Because all of his knee issues have all been his left knee. Like when he had those screws that he had to get out, I remember. I'm almost positive everything, like Duke, everything has been the same knee.
Mm.
So
yeah, that makes sense.
There's that caveat of it as well. The next team, I will give you, how many guesses do we have left? Like teams left in the NBA. I don't think you'll get this next team ever. This is the most, we have two very, I skipped ahead a couple, sorry. We were talking about Dallas, but we're technically two teams back because Dallas is at plus 3,300. So it's Golden State, a team, and then Dallas.
Oh, okay. So Dallas is right there. A team in between them, though. Is it an East team?
Yes. Recently just made moves that people got pretty high on.
Recently.
Like, I feel like they've got a lot more love.
Atlanta?
Like, yes, Atlanta.
Okay. That makes sense to me. I feel like I would almost put Atlanta over Golden State because of them being in the East, to be honest.
That's fair.
But
that's totally fair. But it's also plus 400 different. So it's not a giant, I mean, it's a gap, but it's not a giant gap. Who do you think is after the Mavericks?
The Mavericks.
So it's Golden State, Atlanta, Dallas. Who do you think is after the Mavericks?
Miami.
Nope.
I
feel like this is the most. There is two teams, and they're just hedging their bet in between the two potentials that this team is.
New Orleans.
No.
I was thinking like the very best case scenario for New Orleans.
No, it's essentially that, but not New Orleans.
Raptors, Toronto.
Nope.
Oh. Who else is like that? It's not Memphis, is it? You already said Memphis is lower.
Memphis is lower. It's an East team.
Okay, it's an East team. Eastern Conference. Pistons. How have we not talked about the Pistons yet?
Pistons are the team after this team.
Why? I feel like they're kind of low. It's kind of disrespectful. They almost beat the Knicks in the first round.
The next four teams are East teams.
And it's not Boston nor Milwaukee. We've already talked about where they are.
You have said every team that's been the semblance of a contender except for this one team.
Except for this
and
one team.
And that brings me joy that you don't even think they should be even in this category. I'm giddy.
Did they make the... Was that a hint? Is it the Chicago Bulls?
No. Oh, that was actually funny. No, that's not a hint at all. I'm saying I'm giddy because you not even having this team pop into your brain as we're talking about contending.
I forgot they existed.
That makes me so happy. Existed. We're talking about contending and Philadelphia doesn't exist.
Uh-huh.
Which is awesome. It's awesome.
Joel Embiid is a person.
But
with,
you know what I mean? That's what I mean. Like, it feels like it's hedging. Everyone stays healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they get McCain back and that works. They just, everything works.
Maxie.
And then everyone gets hurt again. And they just suck. So I feel like this is
VJ
hedging that.
Also.
No, because if everybody's healthy, they like maybe win the East. Like there's like a world
you would
because
think.
Of what they have.
Yeah.
But then that's not the most likely scenario at all. It's the opposite. I feel like it's the least likely. But
every season, the best choice in their division, at least, probably even more than just their division if we did that, to be our stay away for the over-under picks.
A perma stay away.
Yeah. Yeah, unless the line for some reason this year is crazy high or crazy low. But even then, it's hard to make an actual bet
But the only, like, how high does the line, that's a great exercise. How high does the line have to be slash low for you to be like, I am willing to go upward? Like, how high for you to go lower? If they say 60 games.
I feel like I would take the under on that for sure.
But there's a world, if they're all healthy, they get 60.
Yeah. It's just a way better value bet going under there.
55.
That one's harder.
You'll probably be stay away, or you probably will take the under.
It depends on what else, I guess, is there in the Atlantic Division. What other lines?
57.5.
That's their line.
No. I just said that.
Oh, you're throwing that out there. Okay, I thought you just read that. I was like, what? I feel like
I will take out $1,000 right now and slam the under.
I bet their line's going to be like 42.5 this year. Something like that.
Lines don't come out yet, do they? They're still.
They probably exist somewhere.
I thought Bill Simmons did a big like thing when they actually came out, and he's in the middle of his break.
Oh, I don't know.
He does for the NFL at least.
Okay. I think some books have him out already, but some definitely don't.
But then it's the Sixers, then it's the Pistons, the Celtics, the Bucks, and then the Spurs. And then it turns into just, and then I guess the Pacers. Pacers worth mentioning. Only reason they're not much higher, obviously, Halliburton being out is a big part of it. But then everything else is just like poo-poo, doo-doo, water.
And there's they lost Miles Turner.
Yeah.
We forgot to mention with the Wolves, they lost Nickeil Alexander-Walker.
Yeah.
They're running back everything other than they subtracted somebody. And now Terrence Shannon is going to have to fill into that role.
Which I have faith that he will do that very fine.
For sure. I don't know about,
they'll lose a little bit defensively.
Yeah. But
somebody he's going to be
handle the ball.
He's going to have a long career, I think.
Yeah. I agree.
So, yeah.
He's a gunner.
I also love that if you go back in this podcast, like 2 years, I hated him because of his like a booty ball stupidity against Nebraska in the, in the Big Ten tournament.
Big Ten
in
tournament.
The semifinal. I got so mad.
Mm-hmm.
Coleman Hawkins also can't stand that guy. Google that guy. I can't stand his face. Coleman Hawkins.
You want me to see him? Is that what you're?
Hold on. Let me make sure that's his name.
Coleman Hawkins.
Nope. It is. Oh, man, what a pull. This guy makes me so angry.
Oh, I've seen him before. Kansas State.
Well, he was. Yeah, he's Illinois. At Kansas State now, but he was at Illinois. Now he's at Kansas State. Anyway, that guy makes me mad.
Last note I wanted to touch on was the thing I forgot about to talk about with the Lakers. How they let Dorian Finney-Smith go to the Rockets because Rob Pelinka, yet another. Every day that goes by, I'm like confused on how he pulled the chess move of all chess moves to get Luka Doncic when every single other move he makes is like
terrible.
Yeah. He apparently was telling every other team in the NBA that Dorian Finney-Smith had a bum knee. Like he was having knee problems.
Okay.
But he didn't.
Oh.
Because he was a free agent. Like he was trying to lower his stock around the league so they could get him cheaper.
He could get back. And then the Rockets just didn't care?
Well, no. It's just that Dorian Finney-Smith and his agent found out about that. And then out of spite, we're like, we're not talking to you. We're going somewhere else. Like regardless of what you offer us, we're going other place.
Yeah.
So that was a great
nice
wave
move by the good old Robert Pelinka.
Yeah. And then they got Jake LaRavia as a consolation prize.
Nice, dude. Big fan of LaRavia, but not Dorian Finney-Smith.
Yeah, for sure. Anyways, I think that could be it though for today's episode. We definitely went over what we had planned, but we got some good content out of it. It's good to meet back up and talk. It's been over a month now, I think. Yeah, a month and a week.
Ooh, probably. Summer's been busy on my end, so this is all my fault, everyone. Sorry.
No, that's all right. And I think we'll be able to hopefully at least do the lines like we do every year before the season starts. So I guess that is the next thing for sure to be looking out for. But other than that, we might hit you with some bonus stuff here and there. I might do a solo episode. I'm still doing all the Patreon bonus videos every week. And TikTok uploading on the socials every few days or so. I'm going to get more back into that now that I'm back from vacation. But thank you all for listening. Love you. Appreciate you. Stay happy. Stay healthy. And we'll talk to you guys next episode.
Peace.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!